dwelling in the darkest depths of the mind. It's time for Mark D. Valenti and Brain Burrow.
Okay, welcome everybody to the episode of Brain Burrow about digging deep. And this is your host, Mark D. Valenti. And today, I have the special privilege of introducing a colleague and mentor, I will say, Ms. Courtney Palm. So Courtney, I want to see how you're doing, and I want you to talk about who is Courtney Palm.
Well, first, thank you, Mark, for having me on this blessed day, and thank you everybody who's watching. That means a lot for both of us, and we hope that you're equally having a beautiful day, wherever you are. So who am I? I think that's a really deep question that not a lot of us know the answer to. So on the surface, I could tell you who I'm projected to be by everybody else, or I can tell you, you know, I'm just this earthling, this fellow pilgrim, like vibing on this planet, like a spaceship floating in, or like in this universe that we call Earth. Like, I really don't know who I am. And I think that this is the journey where we find out who we are. So on the surface, I'm this person who loves animals, who loves people, but also can be irritated by them, and who just loves the earth, honestly, and I'm just trying to figure out what the heck's going on.
Yeah, that's a great answer and a very deep answer, which I'm not surprised because you're constantly communicating sort of about who you are and how you interact with others. When you mentioned that you're sometimes irritated by people, what do you mean? Talk a little bit more about that.
Well, I think the problem is a lot of us operate our daily lives in our own little reality tunnel that we've sort of fabricated around us and believe our world truths, what is real to us, and we don't know maybe what's real to someone else, and what's real to them could be irritating to you, like someone speeding in traffic in a fast car and cutting you off, and you're just like, oh, that a-hole, and it's just like, you know, you're irritated by them. You're like, that person deserves to get in a wreck. And you're just like, wait a minute. Like, why am I, you know, but that's their reality. It's like, look at me. I'm cool. I'm in a fast car or I'm late for an appointment or whatever. You know, I get irritated by people who aren't vegan. I get irritated by people who are like, Trump is amazing and Biden sucks, or Biden's amazing and Trump sucks. And it's like, we don't even know who these people are. Like, we just saw the face of them on TV. We don't even know who they are. Like, we can't just say these things. So, like, it just is irritating, I think, because the collective unconscious mind right now is really kind of dense and very layered with these attitudes and belief systems without really, like, being expanded in their own minds. Like, it's just really closed off, very narrow-minded, very brainwashed society, and it can be very irritating, especially to me, when I'm, like, trying to rise above it, you know, doing plant medicines, meditation, self-healing, and all these things. And then I get pulled back into this 3D world where I'm like, oh, this like dense energy is just so frustrating and people need to wake the fuck up. Oops.
You can swear. It's okay. We didn't do a disclaimer, but yes, you can swear. Please.
Yeah, it's just wake up, you know, and I get frustrated, I think. But ultimately, in the end, you realize that we really are all connected. We really are like vibrating here together on this planet, and for us to be really separate is like an illusion, you know, like we really are here. Like if you look at it fundamentally or even spiritually, we've all sort of been created out of the same essence essentially. So the irritation that we're seeing in other people could be something that's trying to make us wake up and see something more about ourselves, so that you can actually make a change and become a better person or become enlightened or whatever. So I don't know. I get frustrated, but I have to understand where people are coming from as well and what their story is.
Yeah, so that's a very empathic approach, because even when people irritate you, it still sounds like you're trying to understand where they're coming from. And yeah. So I'm just wondering, how do you do that, right? Because you're a human being, you get stressed, you get tired, you get pulled in a million different directions, you get hungry, you get all these things. So how do you even have the energy to be able to sort of kind of navigate some of these situations, but also recharge yourself?
Well, that's a great question, Mark. I think, you know, we're ever evolving and we're always trying to figure that out, I think, day by day, because you can get pulled back into that especially when you're dealing with your own life stressors. But the best way to do it is, you know, take a time out to pause and try to rise above the situation, not necessarily thinking that you're better than the situation, but you're just kind of seeing it from a higher perspective where you're looking at everything kind of play out below you. So then you're like separated from yourself, and then you can see what could be possibly going on. A really vague, not vague, but just, I don't know, just an example. Recently, my father has been really on edge and like really irritable and kind of like fighting with my mom a little bit because he's selling his company to someone. And he's like on edge about it because, you know, he's worked his whole life, really, the greater half of his life on this company. And now to sell it to someone else, it's his baby that he's basically giving away. So naturally, he's going to have that attitude. So if he's putting anything onto me or projecting anything onto me with this attitude he has, and I'm not saying it's like bad, I'm just saying it's like it could be agitated at certain times. And I'm just like, you know, I totally understand where you're coming from. I know you're stressed out because you're selling your company. So these are the things that we have to do when we step back and we're dealing with someone who is maybe angry or jealous or irritated or sad. We don't take it personally because we have to see where they're coming from and how they're operating. And be like, okay, what are you dealing with in your life that's making you act this way? And then thus you can do that with yourself as well. You can be like, wow, like with the full moon. I mean, that brought out some amazing energies for people. And you could either have been like trapped in those energies, or you could have used it as an opportunity to see past yourself and kind of find more enlightenment. Like for me on Sunday, it was like, the energy was very dense. It was like super full moon, like in Libra, divine feminine energies rising to the top to try to balance out these divine masculine energies that have been really like wreaking havoc on the planet for quite some time now, because, you know, the masculine energy is very straight and narrow, very authoritative, and the feminine energies, which we all have, we have a balance of both. Hopefully we can balance both. I don't, some of us are out of balance, but the divine feminine energies are very rooted in compassion and understanding and grace. And when you, like when that full moon was coming on me, I was like depressed suddenly. I was irritated. I was like, what is going on? And then I realized, I was like, oh, these are the sides of myself that I'm not happy with. How can I show myself compassion for these aspects of myself? And then when you start to sit with yourself, and that's really honoring yourself, you invite in self-love, and you're able to heal over your own, you know, misperceived judgments and issues that you're going through, which also helps your body heal and boost your immune system. So win-win if you can just get past your own brain, really.
Right. Everything's interconnected, mind and body, right? So in hearing you talk, you know, you're actually talking about, as you probably know, sort of that behavioral aspect of emotional intelligence, of self-reflection and self-understanding why we have triggers. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know you and I have chatted before. I'm wondering, how do you see the connection between behavior and psychology to everything that you're talking about right now?
It's so weird because, like, I have my master's in psychology, and you're definitely a very intelligent human being, especially on your other channel, you know, when you're doing all these, you know, behavioral therapy techniques and you know, you were implementing things with behavior and your characters and movies, and that's all beautiful. But like when you try to ask me how to like make words make sense with all this, like, I don't know. I just kind of go off of like feeling, you know, I don't, like, I'm just not very analytical. So everything I learned in my degree with behaviors and with, like, the psychology aspect of life, I feel like an idiot. Like, I really do. I just go off of what I learn with plant medicines and, like, my own enlightenment, so to speak. So I really don't know how to speak on this intelligently. Like, I'll just sound like an idiot. Like, I just
there's no right or wrong answer. It's really about your perspective, and that's why we're just kind of seeing what you think. No, I know, and I recognize that everybody's background is different. But I actually think, you know, hearing you talk today, and if people aren't familiar with Courtney and sort of what she believes beyond the characters that she plays in the movies, I'm wondering, what do most people misperceive about you?
Yeah, so I mean, it's a lot of the times I'll get fans that reach out to me and they're like, wow, you're more than just a pretty face. Like, you actually are intelligent. And I think that's the biggest thing that people think about me is like I'm just this actress who gets naked in films, and usually those people aren't seen or painted in a good light. And again, that goes down to whoever the audience member is perceiving that particular actor from their own reality tunnel, from their own upbringing, right? And reality tunnel is a term, I think it was, might have been coined by Robert Anton Wilson, who was just talking about, you know, each of us go through our daily lives with this perception of what life is. And that's our reality tunnel. Like, for example, you and I could both walk down the same hallway into a room and we'll both have a completely different experience of how it felt to be walking in that hallway. And that comes down to our cultural understanding of life, our socioeconomic status, and how we were raised, really. And so people always think of me as just the naked girl who should shut up and not talk politics. And like, you know, like not everyone, but you know, that's a thing that people can see is like, you're just the naked chick in movies. They don't really know that there's another side of me, you know, that I actually do give a shit. I actually do care, but it doesn't matter. I don't have to prove anything to anyone because whether or not they're at a time in their life where they can listen and absorb that information, it doesn't, you know, serve me any better. It doesn't serve them any better. I mean, until, you know, they can get out of their own misperceptions, essentially.
Yes. So first of all, very empathic answer, not surprised, but also very intellectually grounded answer as well. When you reference different approaches about people that create different theories, as you're saying. So it's all there, you know, which is kind of cool. So I'd agree with you, and I'm sure that most people that are in the film industry probably have everybody out there who has a misperception of them. But what about people that you interact with? I mean, people that actually know you or think they know you. What do most people think about you? Or what do they misperceive about you?
Well, you know, there's a lot of layers in my life that aren't public, you know, and I think that's the thing. It's like I have this women's circle that I go to every Saturday or every other Saturday, depending on weather. And, you know, we just get together and we like chant and sing and dance and light a fire and just have like this really beautiful sacred ceremony trying to bring in the remedy for the earth with love and compassion, beauty and grace. And, you know, those women in that circle don't know that I'm on OnlyFans selling nude photos, like, you know. And that's the thing is they look at me like I'm this shamanic healer, teacher, spiritual sister. But at the same time, you know, I'm also doing something to them they don't approve of. And also when we're calling forth these remedies for Earth, they'll, you know, they'll say things like, you know, we really need to have an end to violence in movies. Because when we have violence in movies, we're normalizing the violence. We're normalizing the degradation of the planet. We're normalizing the degradation of females. And you see a lot of new films coming out that are actually trying to change that narrative. But there's always that same underlying theme, right? The hero has to overcome a villain. You know, these people are hurting the planet. And so the villain wants to save the planet, but then the heroes won't let the villain save the planet. Like, what was that TV show that just came out with John Cusack? Utopia or Dystopia or something like that, I forget.
Okay.
But he was trying to actually save the human race, but in doing so, he had to make everybody sterile so no one could have kids anymore. And I was like, well, that's actually a really brilliant idea. Make everyone sterile for the time being because we are overpopulated. We are taking too much of our resources. And, you know, these people then tried to bring him down and be the good guys. But really, was he really a bad guy? So, you know what I mean? There's all these tropes, but that's beside the point. I tell them in the circle, and I am actually honest here, but I'm like, look, I'm in these movies, these movies with violence, these horror movies. And you know what? It's not going to end because even me, who's in this circle with you, calling forth all these remedies for the planet, I'm still doing these movies. And I actually like doing these movies. So those are things that they don't understand about me. And like in my own family, like, you know, a lot of my family members are very close-minded, very judgmental. Unfortunately, they can't see past their own nose. And they don't understand, like, why I do psychedelics and why psychedelic medicine is very important for the human consciousness and for self-healing. And, you know, there's a lot of judgment I met with that, and so closed off that they don't really want to sit with who I am and how I've been adapting and elevating my own consciousness to become a better human, so that I am a better steward toward those around me and a better steward to the planet. And so that's another common thing is, you know, when you have these beliefs, you're going to be closed-minded. And that's, I think, a big problem with today's society, at least in America. I'm speaking solely from my own experience in Western America and culture.
Well, yes, I wouldn't expect you to speak from anybody else's experience. And I know it's actually really, again, in talking to you, you just have such a command of your own feelings and your own, as I said, triggers. But also, although you recognize the people around you have certain feelings toward you, you're empathic toward them, but it doesn't let you don't let them define who you are, which it takes a lot to get to that point.
Right.
So how did you get to that point? How have you evolved to this point where you're speaking the way you are about these things?
Right. So, I mean, for those of you watching it, and I know a lot of people always like seek this information from psychologists, therapy, people online, just trying to get all this information, like, what can I do? But really, because we're doing this act of seeking, we're separating ourselves from ourselves. And what I've learned from my whole entire journey is plant medicines are really what were the catalyst for me to actually fully understand how to see myself from a different perspective and how to love myself and thus understand where someone else is coming from and then give them compassion as well. I was very depressed. I had led a very, very great life. I've had anything I could ever want. You know, I went to college, I had cars, I had food, like I had a house, like I was always well taken care of. I didn't have to really want for anything, but I was not happy. And naturally, a lot of us aren't happy because of what's going on in today's society. There's so many things that are culturally seen as I don't know, status, beauty. And I think that really messes with us. And we don't really trust ourselves or love ourselves. And I think that's a problem, like, you know, trying to make it as an actress in LA, all these other beautiful women going to these auditions and I'm not booking anything and I'm sitting in these waiting rooms with all these people and then I recognize like more famous people in the waiting room with me and I'm like, well, I'm obviously not going to get the part. And besides that, you know, I think a lot of us hold ancestral trauma, which is passed down through our DNA, our genetic code. And a lot of like the judgments and the pains and the strifes can come through us from our ancestors. And once you can see that from a different perspective, you can step outside yourself. Like my grandma's a very judgmental person. Her mother was a judgmental person. It was pushed onto me. I became very judgmental of people. And I'm like, this isn't life. Why am I depressed? Why do I want to kill myself? What the hell is the point in life? So naturally, I needed a way to figure this out. And I sought out ayahuasca. And that was really the turning point in my life and my growth. And then after ayahuasca, I started, I read If You Meet the Buddha in the Road, Kill Him by Sheldon B. Kopp. And he's a psychotherapist who worked with inmates and just people of all backgrounds. And he just said, basically, like, you're seeking me and you're seeking Buddha and you're seeking Jesus and you're seeking God because you want to heal yourself. You want to better yourself. But really, we're just the catalyst for you to find it within yourself. And I think, and that's what the last time I sat with DMT told me, like, I smacked myself really hard and I was like, stop seeking outside yourself, baby girl. Like, it is all in you. And I was like, but I need help. And it's like, no, you don't need help. Like, you are a powerful entity, just yourself. Like, you have to look within. And you know, that's what we have to do is we keep seeking outside ourselves. But if you look within, you're like, I'm a jealous person. Why am I jealous? Oh, my dad's a jealous person. Why is he jealous? Like, oh, you know, how was his childhood? How was he brought up? And then when you start to dissect these things, you start to see what you're holding on to, these belief systems or these feelings that really don't belong to you. You know, when you're a kid growing up between the ages of 1 and 7, you're the most impenetrable. What's the word? Is that the right word? at that time, like you absorb all this information like a sponge without discernment. Mm-hmm. So if anyone says anything to you, you can make this agreement like of anything that you don't even know. Like your parents would say something about money, you know, just absentmindedly about money in the store when you're looking for like a doll that you want, and they say something about money. Suddenly, as an adult, you have issues with money. It has nothing to do with you. These are projections that have gotten onto you. These are belief systems that have gotten into you. So in order to heal, in order to rise above yourself and have this self-awareness, you really have to be like, why am I like this? Where did I get this from? And you have to sit with these sides of yourself. And then as you're separating all these sides of yourself, you send each thing that you've separated lots of love and compassion, the way you would a child, the way you would an innocent animal. And when you cradle yourself with that innocence and that love and that compassion, you start to heal yourself. And when you're a better human being, like a whole human being vibing in your own light, your own sunshine, you can see that sunshine in other people. And you can actually admire other people instead of being jealous of other people. Or, you know, that was kind of long-winded. Sorry.
Why are you sorry for that? I asked you the question and you gave a great answer to that. But I think, you know, it's interesting, right? Because you've called out sort of what my approach is and what yours are, and how actually they're very similar. Because what you're talking about is motivation. You've heard me talk before about intrinsic motivation and getting to that point where you already have all these other needs met and you're able to sort of self-explore and you have your battery that's filled. There's probably a more environmentally friendly analogy than a battery, but, you know, you get it. So it's just very interesting about how there's a connection there. I wonder, as we look back, especially in the year of 2020, what was your biggest struggle with all of this? Because I know there was times whenever, you know, again, you and I were communicating and there were struggles that you were having. So could you talk a little bit more about that?
Are you talking about just the year itself or with
the year itself or any experiences that you've had looking back? Well, whatever you want.
Again, going back to what I said initially, like there's this collective unconscious that we're all tapped into. And that vibration, and like it's almost like, let's say, if you want to look at it with physics, the quantum level of life, this vibration at the quantum level, we are all tapped into, essentially. And that's where we pull information from. And I think that the energy of the planet was so dense. People dying, people confused, and fear being the biggest culprit. Because the shaman Alberto, what is his last name? Alberto something, he's a shaman. He says that anything that has to hide in the dark has no real power on its own. Anything that has to hide in the dark has no real power of its own. And that is fear. And we give it power when we are afraid, when we are fearful, when we are anxious, when we are angry, when we are spitting out a negative narrative into this collective unconscious field that's then recycled up through the ethers, through everyone else's brain. And this is physics, this is metaphysical, this is psychological. You know, I wish I could like quote more things for you. The nature of time I won't, but just you can do the research on your own. And I think with 2020 being the way that it was around the world, especially with the fear aspect, I think it was just difficult for people to really like feel at ease. And I'm an empath, so I could definitely absorb that feeling. And of course, we're all irritated because we all had vacations planned that got shut down. You know, we all lost money on plane tickets or Airbnbs or whatever. Like, you know, I lost a lot of money last year and I only gained maybe, what, 50% of it back? And I don't know if, and some people probably lost all of their money when they had it invested into these trips. And that can be frustrating because, you know, as an affluent, I guess, female in America where I have an easy life, to me, that pissed me off, you know? And then I'm like, okay, well, there's other people actually truly struggling. Like, where can I step back and actually take this time as a time for rest, as a time for the planet to heal, as a time for people to really have more time alone without the chatter of everyone else. Unfortunately, that time alone was kind of, I think, warped with the brainwashing media and disinformation that's out there. But, you know, it was difficult. Like, I had a pay cut at my job, but I'm lucky I didn't lose my job. You know, I had a movie that we were doing, and it got shut down halfway through, and now the movie is totally shut down because they just don't have the money to deal with COVID restrictions, and that's frustrating. And, yeah, so, I mean, like, ultimately, I know some people who had COVID. Everybody survived happily, healthily, whatever, so, I mean, that's good. And there was a time when I thought I had it, and I thought the whole world was going to end. And I was like, why am I having this mentality? Like, I'm healthy. And then I just took, like, a good day of just, like, doing shower meditations, self-love, healing techniques. And I was literally, like, had almost every single symptom of COVID day one. Then I went to bed after I did all that self-work and woke up healthy. I also implemented a lot of herbs and other treatments as well, but... I think, you know, I realized right away that I was like, I let that fear get to me immediately, like immediately. And then I realized like I had this fear of dying because apparently people were dying of COVID. I had this fear that, oh my God, I could die now. Like, let's just say this gets worse and I die. And then I thought, I had this beautiful revelation that was like, wow. Life is amazing. Even if you're sitting at home feeling worthless on the couch, life is amazing. So, you know, there's all those things. I think a lot of people had time to connect with others online, which was great. There was a lot of funny things that came out on TikTok and Instagram, like all these funny quarantine jokes. And, you know, I think it really brought us together in such a way that I think it was a catalyst for awakening. But we just had to go through that darkness, like what a seed goes through before it germinates. You know, it has to be buried in the same darkness that helps it grow.
Yeah.
And that's what's really important to know.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, these are long-winded. No, it's okay. We lost viewers.
No, it's okay. They tuned out. It's okay. That is their choice. No, it's just interesting to hear you talk about this. And I like how you use the visual because even when hearing you talk, sitting here, absorbing what you're saying, that's exactly what it felt like, right? You're constantly counterbalancing what you're saying about the, say, negative, positive, etc. So I think that was actually a pretty cool journey. I do have one final question for you, because you're right, it is getting about time. Doesn't mean we can't talk, doesn't mean you can't come back. hint. I think the big question I like to ask everybody is sort of what gets you up in the morning? You know, what's your drive to keep going? You know, what motivates you? What motivates Courtney?
Honestly, I just want to know what the hell is the point. That's what I want to know. What is the point? I'm not driven by money. I'm not driven by fame. At one point, I was driven by fame. I wanted to be a famous actress or well-known. You know. Money, obviously, just for security, for food, for a warm bed. Mm-hmm. But honestly, like, what gets me up, I'm trying to decipher my dreams. Because I just had, like, epic dreams full of symbols, and I'm like, what the hell did the mint ice cream mean? Like, you know, so I think that's, you know, really, I just want to discover what the point is, like, what's going on? Honestly, like, just want to know.
Listen, that's great. I mean, it's a vulnerability in sort of saying that you don't know and you're trying to find out what is the point. So thank you for sharing that, Courtney.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's my pleasure. So I want to thank you for being on the show today, and I want to thank everybody for listening in. And Courtney, anything final you want to say to anybody out there who's listening?
Yes, my loves, if you need a sign that you are on the right path, just look within your own heart, because your heart will never lead you astray. And that is a big lesson I get over and over again. Really listen to yourself. Because you're the only person who knows who you really are. And I have a book that I'm going to be writing called Flights of Non-Fancy. It's written, actually. I'm just trying to figure out what I want to do with it. It's about my journey with plant medicines and self-healing. And I have two movies coming out in July. So that's Beyond Paranormal and Two Cents from a Pariah. Other than that, much love to you. Many, many blessings. And honestly, just stay true to yourself, really. And good luck. And thank you, Mark.
Yes, my pleasure. Thank you, Courtney, for the discussion today. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Brain Burrow. This is Mark Valenti and Courtney Palm signing off. Have an amazing rest of your day.
You just dug deep with Mark D. Do you want more? Follow Mark on Instagram at Valenti Horror and subscribe to the Brain Burrow podcast.